This July the 3rd marked the 23rd anniversary of the flood of 1993. It impacted the entire Midwest of the United States, and right here in Madison, South Dakota, sent more than 2,000 people from their homes. In this program, we'll look back at stories of the flood of 1993 from Rod Goman, Roy Lindsay, Roger Olson, Jim Iverson, Dean Garrels, Doug Spielman, John Goman, and Vicki Walters, as well as hear actual broadcasts from that day on KJAM Radio, with audio provided courtesy of Kelly Woolman. Our program is brought to you by Farmers Ag Center of Madison, Complete Septic Service, First Madison Insurance, Helena Chemical, East River Electric, the Madison Regional Health System, Mustang Seeds, the Madison Volunteer Fire Department, Terror Supply, Winter Incorporated, and the Lake Area Improvement Corporation. Looking back, the flood of 1993 will begin with the start of rain and the memories of John Goman.
Well, on June 28th of 93, we had received over 20 inches of rain recorded in Madison. Normal rainfall is about 12. There was water all over. Everywhere you looked, there was water, and we would say, well, it can't rain anymore. It can't get any worse than this.
You know, weeks before, we had so much rain that month, so it just had nowhere to go.
The week prior to that Saturday, it rained every single day. And that Wednesday night, we had our annual meeting at the Lake County Red Cross. And we elected officers that night, on Wednesday night, and they elected me chairman. And it was raining. And it rained on Thursday night, Friday night.
The whole spring was sump pumps, hoses, you know, and all the drainage items that were from the heavy rains that we'd had, you know, about every week, if I remember right, it was raining. So it started to build, probably north of town is where it was building up.
We went out by F&M, and you could just see the water coming, was flooding from Lake Madison to coming across Gale in the town, but no one can see the flooding.
I remember that it was a pretty wet spring and most of the summer, because like I say, we were pretty new into our house, hadn't been there for a year yet, and I'm like, okay, it's like every 2.5 days we're mowing the yard, you know, and it's just like, this is getting old, it's getting crappy, quit raining, quit, you know, need to dry up, and boom, here we go.
I know in our case, we got up early, you know, we heard it rain. It rained so hard that morning, and I think we had about 7 inches of rain.
Getting up in the morning, and you know, just the rain was incredible, just the volume. And, you know, you have heavy rains, but usually for not an extended period of time.
That morning started early with, you know, heavy rains and lightning. And we have a big window next to the bed, and you know, and so I looked out, and I can always gauge what the rain is by looking at the creek behind us. And when I first looked out, it was bankful. And then, I don't know, a little while later in that, I looked out, and it was filling our back field and coming up toward my garden. And that's when I decided to get up, because I knew it wasn't, you know, it wasn't going to be good.
I remember looking out the window in my house to the north, and I saw two houses to the north of me where there was a car in the driveway, and all of a sudden there's standing water, you know, about a foot up the tire. So I thought, wow, that is strange.
I don't remember exactly what time it was, 5:36, 6:30, somewhere in there, and started looking down at the neighbors' houses down on 9th Street. And I could see their houses, you know, were surrounded by water. So a little bit later in that, and I got my vehicle, and I started driving around to see. And that's when you could see, you know, that the waters were coming into town rapidly.
My alarm woke me up, and I turned on the radio, and here John Goman was doing live reports.
We tried to get extra personnel down here to the KJAM station, and those folks are on the other side of the creek, and we can't—they can't get here. So,
of the flooding in Madison, and even then, I thought like a street or two blocks or something. And he was naming off sections of town that were flooded.
I knew we were in trouble. I left the house a little after 4 o'clock and came down here. And Jeff Anderson, of course, was the morning person at that time.
4 86 1/100 inches reported our KJM studios. Most of that occurring this morning. Mile west of Madison at 4 7/10. 7 west of Orland, 4 9/10. 2 3/4 at Wentworth, 4 3/10. 4 1/2 quarter mile south of Virgil Station.
And Jeff and I talked about it, and Jeff signed on the air, and his statement was, Madison residents, take note that there will be a flood in Madison today. So KJM did alert everyone at that time.
Well, I always normally went to work at 6:30 anyway. So I headed over to the store, and it was starting to come down the street. So I started to put some sandbags in the driveway of the gas station we had at the time. And it wasn't long, and a wall of water came and washed them down. So I tried to make my way home.
Mayor Lindsay, and now Mayor Lindsay, was one of the deciding factors, too, because he called the radio station here, I don't know, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and said there's just a massive amount of water north of where he lives. And he said all of that water is going to come through Madison. I remember telling the wife, I said, at 4 o'clock in the morning, I said, I'm going to the station. And I says, I will get home when I get home. And I didn't get home until 5 o'clock the next day.
I remember very clearly our phone ringing at like 6 a.m. And at the time of the flood, I was working out at Nikki's. So it was a late night getting home, and I'm like, why is my phone ringing at 6 a.m.? And it's my mother-in-law on the phone, God bless her. She goes, you guys might want to get up and check your basement, see if you got water. I'm like, we don't have water in our basement. So I get up, and sure enough, go down, we have water in our basement. So we had some friends of ours that were staying with us. So I got them up and said, we got an issue, guys.
We were 307 miles away, and we had a campground full of campers, and we get a call from back here in Madison indicating that our house is flooding. Brad Franken lived next to us, and you know, I was getting ready to leave, and I said, you know, what should I bring? Said, I've got my waders and I've got a couple of little pumps and everything. And he said, bring a boat. And I didn't take Brad, usually don't take Brad seriously anyway. And I didn't take it seriously, but I mean, a boat would have been actually the only way we would have gotten in that first day.
So I went down to check the sump pump, and it was filling up every 10 seconds, which means it was just constantly running. And all at once, the power went out. Well, you know, when the power goes out, the sump pump stops. And when it's filling up every 10 seconds, I ran upstairs and grabbed a pan, one of my wife's pans, and thought I could bail it, you know, bail it into the drain or something like that. Well, that didn't work.
A decision was made that Joyce and the kids would stay back at the campground, and we had a young lady who was working for us from the college who was already here, and so we made the determination that she would stay with me. So I had almost a six-hour drive to only imagine what I was going to be facing when I got.
So I called Doug Spielman at Campbell Supply. He had just opened down there, but he couldn't hardly get to the building because it was surrounded by water. I said, what do you got? And he says, the only one I got left is this, whatever, 20-gallon shop vac. He says, I'll leave it outside for you, and you can pay me on Monday or whenever.
My phone was ringing off the wall. People wanted to buy them. I said, we've got them, but I don't dare open that back door. It's going to be full of water.
So I hustled down there real quick, and I couldn't even get a block from the store, so I had to park up on one of the side streets and then walk in. And the water was up to above my knees, between my knees and my waist. And I find out later that some of the manholes blew off because of the water pressure. So here I'm walking through this street that I can't see anything on, and the water's all over the place. But I did get that shop back. We did get it cleaned up, and it ended up being all right. We lost a little carpet out of it, but that was about it.
We couldn't get into the store, and people needed sump pumps, so the company sent up a semi-load of sump pumps and hoses, so we were basically writing them down and selling them out of the back of the semi. because we didn't dare open the door. It would have went in through the back.
Not having to commute in at that distance, not only was the issue of the fact that, Madison was flooding, but places such as Marshall were flooding, and trying to figure out how to navigate those other flooded areas across eastern South Dakota and southwest Minnesota.
The heaviest thunderstorm rains were between Del Rapids and Brookings. Heaviest rains extended over southwest Minnesota, which is going to produce some increased flooding on Split Rock Creek and the Rock River. Marshall, Minnesota, which has had big-time flooding problems this year, is under a state of emergency, as they have a big flooding there as well.
They did bring waders, but obviously waders would have been a foolish choice to try to battle current to see what was going on.
As the morning progressed on July the 3rd of 1993, the scope of the flood in Madison began to be apparent. As you attempted to drive around town, many realized that wasn't possible.
We stuck it out for a good portion of the day. As the water started getting higher and higher, our friend called his stepdad to come in with a trailer. So we thought, okay, stuff on the main floor isn't going to last. So we started hauling stuff out then, and by then it was waist deep, so we just got the trailer out of there in time when the water really started coming down. Our basement was plumb full. We had a 7.5-foot basement right up to the top. I mean, it was plumb full. Nothing was really salvageable down there for what we couldn't get out. But it was just devastating to see. But
when you walk into your house and the first time you see it and you're in a split foyer, and all you can see is things floating around in your basement near the ceiling, it's kind of a daunting feeling almost on there.
Well, when the water subsided to where you could see what the damage really was, two of our neighbors in that, their basement walls collapsed. One of them, one side of the basement wall caved in, and on the other house, both the south side and the east side caved in. The only thing that kept the house from falling into the basement were the corner blocks. The corner blocks were holding the house up. And other than that, you could go, water passed right through the basements.
People don't realize how much weight is behind that water, and that if you've got a concrete block wall basement, it's not going to hold. There's no way it's going to hold because they're not reinforced typically all that great. You've just got that hydroponic pressure pushing against that wall, and you do not want to be down there.
You go downstairs and you're looking around, and there's it's just this pouring rain, and the next door neighbor, I see a bottle of Tide floating around out in the yard, and come to find out, it just the pressure of the water just washed the basement right out, and the water went right through and pushed the laundry detergent and everything else right out of the back of the house. So he lost his basement, and it was quite an ordeal.
Our house, for example, most of my water came through the sewage backup, and it got high enough it went in the windows. So it was window depth in the basement.
Talking with the city engineer at that time, he said that the volume of water going through the creek in Madison was 140 million gallons per hour.
Yeah, it was scary. A lot of my employees at the time couldn't get out of their houses. Their basements caved in. It was just really a rough time.
I got in my car, and we live out by Bachman Blotty Park, and I came in the town from the east, and I couldn't get past Division Avenue. The water was coming so fast down Division that there were like white caps on the waves. And when I looked straight to the west, all I saw was water. Even to the curb by Campbell Supply, all I saw was water. And then I realized this isn't just a street or a block. And as I got to the bypass and as I turned on Egan, all I saw just north of Bethel was water.
You'd have to drive 3 or 4 miles around the outside just to get to the other end of Madison, which is unheard of. The water that was by Bethel Home and the furniture factory at the time, and Pomida was over the road, and it was running over the road by gale on the bypass. It was just was an incredible time.
And then you could not cross from the north side of Madison to the south side. The only way that you could really do that was to drive out through the countryside and make a big sweep around the town to, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of, 12 to 15 miles to get from the north side of town to the south side of town. Because the roads were, all of the roads, including from Gale all the way through, were covered with lots of water coming into town.
You know, I ran over to my dad's house quick, or tried to. It was a little tough to get down there because there was water all over the place.
And down on 4th Street, where my dad lives, Southwest 4th, we had to rescue him with a boat to bring him to our house to stay because his basement was flooded and the garage and everything was full also.
Highway 19 south of Mars Beach, completely underwater, extremely dangerous. Of course, that goes hand in hand with Scott Matheson's advice to avoid all travel in the area, period. Just avoid travel.
From Canova to Highway 81, that road is closed. Highway 81 south of Virgil Service, as we understand, is still presently open.
Highway 81, 3.5 north of Madison, underwater. People are advised not to travel. Also, 14 is open in one lane, as Dallas mentioned. A few spots on 14. The Moody County roads, most of those roads are underwater, so no travel is advised in Moody County. And the Big Two River is almost up to the Interstate 29 in a couple of spots, so keep that in mind also. The road from Canova to 81 is closed. Most of the roads around Canova and also in McCook County are underwater, so no travel is advised down there.
Game Fish and Parks in Sioux Falls has shut off boat ramps to restrict boating on both lakes Madison and Brant. That coming into us just a few moments ago, and of course we urge the residents of Madison to conserve water for fire protection in case they do need it. The water treatment plant is underwater. There's plenty of water, of course, in the towers.
We really didn't go around town much because we couldn't get hardly any place, you know.